Jeff Woods from Custom Fit. Want to look good, eat good, feel good? Go to CustomFit.ca. They'll set up a program that works for you. Woodsy, how you doing? Today I want to talk about knee injuries. Of course, there's many different kinds of them. It's not just, you know, the obvious ACL tears.
Right. Any number of things could happen to that knee, Gregor, especially this time of year. You're outside running, you're slipping on ice, and you start to move awkwardly. It could happen. So, and that's exactly kind of why it happens too. First of all, it may be a weakness or a lack of joint strength. And then any sudden change in direction or a quick stop or maybe just land awkwardly from a jump or just even blunt force trauma. You're skiing and you run into something and all of a sudden you've got a knee situation where it could be the ACL, which is the most common, like the anterior cruciate ligament, or it could be MCL, it could be a meniscus tear. So any number of things can create some knee pain that required, obviously, some rehabilitation.
So I want to talk a little bit about kind of the things that we should look at as far as how to treat knee injuries. Because nowadays, you know, it's that time of year where the snow is melting, it's slippery, and a knee injury doesn't have to be major surgery, 6 months. There's a lot of little things that are probably more wear and tear that are things that people have to be aware about.
Yeah, I think so, Gregor. That's the thing. So it could be just a repetitive strain scenario. So maybe you're just doing something far too frequently, and then the contraction or the flexion and extension of that knee joint, it just gets inflamed. So you could have any of the connective tissues that just get a little irritated, and that can create some pain. So, you know, they call that like a tendinopathy, which is sort of a generic term for any of those connective tissues that do get overused. They just get a little inflammation, and or it could be patellar femoral syndrome. You hear that a lot, and that's the major tendon that runs right underneath the kneecap, and that can get irritated a little bit. But your best defense to all of this, you know, while your knee is healthy, the best thing that you can do is engage in some sort of strength training program. And the research seems to indicate, Gregor, that, you know, if you're doing squats, the big multi-joint movements, like any variation of a squat where you're going through a nice deep full range of motion or a walking lunge, a step up, that sort of thing, where you're integrating all of those connective tissues to work at one time, that seems to offer up the best defense in terms of really making your knees strong. And with any of this, don't overuse your knee joint. So if you're out there and you're playing hockey one night, even if it's recreational hockey, just, you know, go one night and take the next day off or maybe the next 2 days off. And if you're weight training, you don't have to hit the gym every single day. Stress it one day and then take a day off of weight training. Let the joint recover and actually adapt to the stress that you're imposing on it. And then typically, if you're working wise and you don't overtrain, the muscles will get enough recovery and you won't end up with a knee problem.
Does front squats or back squats, is either one of them better for long-term health of your knee?
Well, I would say this. The back squat, where you've got a weight load on the back of your spine, obviously, for most people, they cannot accommodate a full range of motion because they tend to like forward flex too much. Mm-hmm. The load on their upper back tends to send them forward. The front squat, where you have the bar on the front side of your spine or you're holding some sort of weight on your spine, typically, even in introductory or novice weight training athletes can accommodate that with greater ease, and they can go through a full range of motion, force the knee and the hip to get like greater range and go deeper in their squat, and they can accommodate a greater spine angle, a more specific, like a right spine angle that is better. And so I would say the front squat probably is going to be safer and offers up for most people a better range of motion safely.
But more people, it seems, focus on back squats over front squats. Why?
Well, I think because it's more mainstream. If you open up any sort of weight training book, they look at the back squat. And it is one of the basic, you know, five or six strength training exercises. But you and I have talked about this before. For every 10 people I test in the gym, most people don't have great form when they put that load on their back. 90% of them, when I put a load on the front side of their spine, it's almost perfect in all cases. You're just able to accommodate that weight load on your body and load up your spine in a way that's just easier for most people. And it works out to just a question of leverage. You can more specifically, and just it's easier to accommodate the load on the body when that load's on the front side. And it sort of counterbalances your trunk weight more specifically. So you've already got weight, like in your hips, when you put the weight load on your back and squat, you've got a measurable imbalance. Like it's just hard to balance that load on your body. When you've got the load on the front side of your body, it balances off your trunk weight, and it's just easier to go down through a full range of motion.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. Now, you know, plyometric jump training, what's the benefits of it? What's the cautionary note when you start to engage that for maybe people trying to get more active?
Okay, so listen, here's a sequence we should probably follow, Gregor, as it relates to just overall strength of the knees and the hips. So the research suggests that the multi-joint movements we just talked about is probably best for overall joint strength. The next thing you might want to move into would be doing some sort of agility or speed work. So all that is where you're running a grid system or walking a grid system, and you're forcing your body to sort of change direction quickly. So that way, when you do it in a controlled, learned environment, when you have to do it outside on ice or playing a sport, you're ready for it. And then the next thing, the introduction would be the jump training or the plyometrics. Now, with that, because it is so dynamic, and maybe you're jumping off, you know, a small bench or something like that onto the ground and then jumping again, we have this what we call stretch shortening cycle. So the muscle lengthens really quick, and then it shortens, it contracts really quick. So there's a lot of force on muscle. If you're strong enough to tolerate that, you will become, like, your body reacts like a spring, and you will be more reactionary. You'll be faster, and typically, if you can do that over an extended period of time, you'll be stronger in all of your knee joints. The unfortunate part about it is that because it is so ballistic, there's a high incidence of injury. So for older athletes, this might not be appropriate. For younger athletes who have not done a lot of strength training, it might be inappropriate. And so you have to have an individual who really knows what they're doing to assess your strength and make sure that you've gone through all the preliminary modes of training first so that you don't overstep and end up with an injury. So that would be the cautionary note.
Okay, and definitely have a good warm-up with your knees. Woods, as always, we appreciate it, man. Stay well. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Jason. Take care.